What's that?
That doesn't really work either.
Okay. Alright.
Use that strange kind of ticker.
So what's going to happen to
these? Are you going to tell us, or the audience, or anybody, what it is you're doing beforehand?
The hell is that?
No.
Like drugs? Let's talk about drugs.
Is it actually at SCI or
is it just the skip? You have a slot? Somebody gives up your slot and you're just going to go into that slot and talk about stuff?
We have a plan that I don't want to make public too much right now,
okay,
but
good.
We are planning to try to give some talks in some people's slots that don't show up.
Okay,
but we have another plan that's a little more solid.
That's more solid. Yeah.
Also, shouldn't you at least make a title equal to whichever slot you're taking over?
Yes, I can do that.
Okay.
But this is...
Sure, you can generate
that? I can input that as a...
Will the content follow the title?
No. All right.
That'd be cool, actually. Taking the title, sticking the title on the same paper, roughly the same paper, so maybe it would appear.
Yeah. Okay, well, thank you for having me talk today. I have a lot of interesting research I'm very excited about and want to talk to you about today. I think this is going to really define the way the group is going to be doing research for the next couple years, so everyone should pay attention, and if you don't understand anything, just feel free to ask. This is joint work with Max Krohn and Dan Aguayo, who you might be familiar with. The title of the talk is An Investigation of Interrupts Using AMPT. I'm sorry?
They're not
at the talk. I'm giving the talk. Their names are on the paper. An Investigation of Interrupts Using AMPT. Interrupts are probably very interesting to everyone in this room, so should be a good talk. All right, so an introduction. A lot of today's leading analysts are using spreadsheets, and they're depending on the spreadsheets to develop new information retrieval systems. And a lot of the symmetries used in these systems need to be made atomic, semantic, and signed. And of course, interrupts are a big part of this process. However, on the other hand, the demand for homogeneous epistemologies hasn't yet been met by today's leading analysts. And this is kind of a problem that we've been looking at here at MIT. However, cyberneticists do not currently understand the grand challenges involved in making these algorithms so that symmetries can be atomic and semantic, and epistemologies can be homogeneous. Are you all right? So the heuristic that we developed in this work is actually going to address all of these issues. Let me do a quick overview of simulated annealing before we delve into the real content of this talk. This is going to be important background to understand stuff later in the talk. So steganography has been worked on recently by a number of people in the field, and it's been being used to help visualize RPCs. Which is pretty important when you're dealing with stuff like the internet and distributed systems. As everyone knows, White and Zhao developed the first unstable information back in 1935, but even though that happened in 1935, gigabit switches didn't actually appear until much later. Gigabit switches, of course, are very important when you're visualizing RPCs to kind of see how all this stuff works. However, today's transistor is very different from the ones that they used to build gigabit switches with back in the 40s and 50s. And so we're kind of faced with a problem when we're dealing with simulated annealing. We want to know, how can we make the authenticated technology more metamorphic? And I don't think anyone has a good solution to this problem. And that's kind of what we're going to be talking about in this talk today. So let me go do a quick outline. I've gone through a little bit of the motivation for the talk, then we're going to go into a measurement study that we did at MIT. Then I will present my hypothesis, and then finally we'll summarize. So here's kind of the framework. Here's kind of the framework we have for the system. You can see there's a number of computers that are connected to the internet here in a big cloud. We can also have devices like iPods connected. That's pretty interesting. There are problems arise when you have, little internets kind of off to the side, or intranets, but Yeah, but they're connected by wireless connectivity here. So when you're trying to visualize RPCs and investigate interrupts in such a framework, things get a little complicated when you're dealing with these USB devices and these wireless intranets. So we're going to kind of... our solution is going to work within this framework to solve the problems we've been talking about. So let me get into a little bit about what AMPed is. The insight we have in this research is that you can actually use virtual machines to investigate Bayesian modalities more effectively. As we know, this is a big problem, not being able to investigate Bayesian modalities effectively. So what AMP does is it investigates all the red black cheese on the internet in the gigabit switches one by one until we are able to investigate all of the interrupts on the Ethernet. And so you can see that AMP is going to work well under a certain subset of conditions. Let me quickly get into the performance measurements of this talk. So this is a graph of energy versus instruction rate. And you can see it's kind of all over the map. Kind of this area is the most interesting part of the graph here, where it goes up above zero for a long number of instruction rates over on the x-axis there. And we want to kind of keep our gigabit switches in that range for as long as possible, if we can. To achieve this map, we carried out an ad hoc emulation of MIT's desktop machines. And we were actually able to prove that the mutually stable behavior of parallel configurations actually kind of looks like this in terms of energy versus instruction rate. So another thing that we measured is the expected signal-to-noise ratio. In our experiments using AMPs, we're actually able to measure hard disk throughput as a function of the NB RAM space on a Lisp machine, an old Lisp machine we had lying around in MIT. And we actually found that usability decreased by almost 9,000 milliseconds. This is actually a really important result that I want you guys to pay attention to, because usability decrease is not really a good thing, and we're trying to make that better with AMPed. Russ.
Which model were you using for measuring usability?
Did you see that graph that I had up there earlier? Yeah, we were following those lines on the graph.
It's about the time it took the user to follow the
line. Something like that. Then next we actually scripted an ad hoc deployment of AMP on our client server testbed rather than on the Lisp machine. And we wanted to actually measure the lazily smart behavior of randomized information. Unfortunately, those numbers were inconclusive, but the next time we publish this work, we hope to have real numbers that actually demonstrate that we're increasing usability rather than decreasing it. We also went ahead and measured median energy. We compared the expected signal-to-noise ratio that we actually calculated in the last performance measurements to on different operating systems, including SystemB, Sprite, and Multics. Unfortunately, we found that security was actually reduced by 34%, which is not a great result, but we also ran a semantic simulation on Planet Lab to measure how much AMP actually changes cyberinformatics. I omit those results here for brevity, but they're in the paper. We also ran on a hardware prototype on the KGB's 2.9 testbed, attempting to disprove that computationally signed information actually does not have the ability to affect the work of Benagupla and Ramasumarana. Therefore, our application actually does not observe as well as previous approaches do. Alright, so let me get to the related work before I summarize. Obviously, the visualization of erasure coding has a lot to do with the visualization of RPCs that we're using in this project. I'm sure everyone knows about the stable emulation work that Ito did at SIGCOM last year. There's also a lot of work in collaborative study earlier this year that you should check out if you haven't read it yet. David Johnson submitted a paper to HPCA that's very interesting on the visualization of erasure coding. Besides erasure coding, there's also a lot of interesting work around the study of investigation of interrupts, you can look at G.I. Ito's paper from 1995 or Smith's Mobicon paper from 98. All right, so in conclusion, I presented to you AMP today. It's a new algorithm for intuitive allowance of the investigation of interrupts. And it's also can be used for methodology for the emulation of the location identity split, which we use in the paper. I didn't talk about it in the talk, but we use it to prove that scheme and evolutionary programming are not compatible. We also validated that extreme programming and forward error correction can actually work together and collude to fix these challenges. And we argued that the omniscient algorithm by Ivan Sutherland for the synthesis of architecture actually is going to follow a zip-like distribution. And in fact, what I want to leave you with, and this is probably the most important part of the talk, so if you only come away with one thing of the talk, this, I'd like this to be it, but our application AMP actually represents a profound advancement to DOS theory. And that's it. I'm happy to take questions.
URL, you can download your source.
And it may be a different talk, there's a URL. I don't know, I made a couple. I could give an infinite number of talks.
Some of them have URLs.
Some of them do have URLs. I'm trying to find one for you.
That's
a URL.
That's also you.
No, there's no you. I don't know. They don't all have URLs. And most of them are a little bit longer, too. That one's kind of short.
Where did you get the images from?
Openclipart.org.
Are the images randomly selected, too?
Yes.
The URLs are very...
Yeah, it's kind of a problem.
This is a URL for...
What is that image?
I don't know what that image is. I think that one got screwed up.
It's like a baby in a box.
Well, I don't know. I don't have any URLs. I did work on URL generation. That's kind of interesting.
I feel like there are just too many buzzwords, and that makes the talk really hard to understand.
I don't know. I guess you're probably not smart enough to understand it then, because this stuff is commonly taught in upper level CS classes.
Each of these words is commonly taught.
So how did Kumba that hypothesis follow the measurement as opposed to the other way around?
Oh, well, we did the measurement first. Yes.
You guys cite the Swedish algorithms.
Sure.
And he's not here today, but...
He's here in spirit.
If he were to raise an objection to this work, or a question, or really skeptic, what would you be most curious about is how this thing scaled with respect to the methodologies of the number of RPCs per security and per usability. I was wondering if you could address that concern that I'm offering.
So I understand.
Super money on his place. I need some people.
He's here in spirit. We all miss that. What I want to say about scalability is that it actually did skyrocket to about 55%. During the course of our experiments.
What's the if?
I'm sorry?
To the if. What is the if referred to?
The scalability.
Oh, okay.
It went up to about 55%, which is not great. I mean, it's obviously when you're dealing with visualizing RPCs, it's
right,
going to be...
Right, you should only want to keep around 8 or 9%, so it seemed like really not...
We have a lot of work to go. I mean, the reviewers with our paper weren't very... They didn't send back very good reviews, and we're still working on...
Pushing the scalability down.
Yeah. Look for our work at next year's WMCI.
Can you comment on how this relates to my work on mesh networks?
I'm not familiar with your
work.
I can't answer that. My talk. It's only 4:22. I could do another one. I think I was wrong.
And what is the time frame for these talks?
It doesn't matter. 15, 20 minutes.
Those Dobbins are on the desktop.
Dobbins is always on my desktop. Yeah. Max, do you want to do it?
Yeah, I got a practice first.
So this thing is generating the bullets with the same software that generates the papers?
Same software. I had to write a new, template.
So these are like sentences?
No, I wrote a bunch of bullets too, but I had to write another input file to this generator. But it uses the same set of words and stuff.
And so what you're doing up there is reading the bullets and sort of interpolating in. Yeah. Trying to write a little continuity.
Yes. I'm desperately trying to write a
problem. Well, I mean, I think if you just used a few fewer buzzwords, that might make it a little easier. And you don't have to, relate the buzzwords to what we think they might actually mean. You just have to
say them.
The thing is, part of what's funny is that it's forcing.
We're fucking simulating a kneeling.
Had you read the talk before you gave it?
No.
You never said it.
So how do you know it's going to produce something that is correct? How do you know the CF file is good? What is it like?
I think the talk should have more figures.
I haven't seen it.
Yeah.
Talk means more figures.
Some of the
measurement section could have three graphs.
Smaller, fewer words.
Yeah.
Because some of the coolest things in the papers were the graphs and the diagrams.
Yeah, you should make sure that your contributions are right up at the front.
Does anyone have suggestions of what type of figures we can put? The only thing I could think of was the network.
Yeah, generate more graphs.
The framework one is really good.
Yeah.
That
was generated, yeah.
That's awesome.
You have a preview.
More topologies. There are more topologies. That'd be
more topologies?
Yeah.
What else we got here?
That's brilliant.
Oh yeah, you actually had an architecture diagram in the paper, right? Like something with layers.
In the paper, no, we didn't. We never had anything with layers. We had that's the Quake logo on top of something.
Oh.
I don't know. It just got put in the same place. In the paper, we had flow charts and stuff like that.
Yeah,
I didn't know if those would translate well to the talk.
Could you do a build
show the little things showing up?
I can, I do that in some, I can do that like this.
Yeah. Could you do that with the graphics too?
I would have to generate, n pictures and do that and put them up in order, but I could probably do that. I don't know how it would look though. Yeah.
I have two serious suggestions. One is actually to increase the font size, because it is slightly retro from here.
Okay.
No, there's like five people.
I'm just saying, you've got room on the sides. The other thing is,
yeah.
What you could do is, since if you think it's going to be, I guess you don't really, it's context for you, but you could have a preview of your results and just put up a completely bogus graph very early on. It's a way to slip an extra graph and immediately start talking.
Just to motivate this work.
Yeah.
Of course, it doesn't have to show up or anything.
You're going to have a problem statement
section.
No, it doesn't have to do with anything to do with it. You can just say, one of the things we're going to be talking about is, and then you just have a rule that sticks a graph early on,
sure.
And it's just totally nonsensical.
A summary and an overview or a summary.
Key results.
Key results, yeah.
Yeah, contributions.
Yes.
That's what Neil said.
That's right.
Yeah, that's good.
I've been to plenty of press.
I wonder if
for some of the slides I thought fewer bullets might be better.
Or shorter sentences.
It's tough.
Can you because these long, these beefy things are hard for you to sort of plow through.
Yeah.
And also, then it sort of feels like you're just reading the slide,
Yeah.
I think breaking up the slide, like this summary slide is, four different slides, right? Bullet one, bullet at a time, is actually probably better.
But does it random?
Go ahead and start laughing, right?
Yeah.
Because we're laughing at bullet.
Well, three. People that I'm giving the talk to aren't hopefully going to know that it's a fake talk. They'll just
sure,
be sitting there.
But it's still funnier to
hold it out longer.
Yeah. It just happened that
yeah.
It's actually pretty likely that these kind of overlay sites come up. So
okay.
I don't know. It's like. One in five slides or something come up.
Okay.
They're supposed to come up early. So.
Do you think people will get it?
Well,
are you
going to
videotape
the
session?
Everything's going to be videotaped. it'll be online.
Can you emphasize the sentences, or because it's context where you can't?
Well, can you make them phrases, right?
Most of them.
Because the ones that went got to four lines were
You still have some control over the expected sentences.
You don't have to have any sentences. Phrases is the right thing.
Yeah, I'm trying it. there's a trade-off between how much of my time it takes to make these things short. And, like, because some of these sentences I just took straight from the paper.
Another approach, though, would be to have the thing generate, instead of basically generating sentences or sort of full lines, to have it just generate, you know, nouns or noun phrases or something.
Right, like RAID methodology.
Right, that you would stimulate.
Fiber optics cables more effective.
Right. And then you would be in sort of more in control. Because
right.
It did seem like you were reading.
But what's funnier is me trying to read this whole thing or being able to make up whatever I want.
The funniest thing is watching you bullshit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Actually, you making this stuff up is funny.
Yeah.
And the more that's written, the less bullshit opportunity you have. But
yeah.
That's
not necessarily true.
No, that's because
he
never
gets
himself in such a corner that he's bullshit him way out.
No, I think if he had like three words for each bullet, he'd be harder pressed to like string something.
But if they were.
I think it would be
harder.
I think it would be
because there's no text there. He has to get coherent.
Take the third line. We have better sentences than just going to use.
He has
to say a lot more.
I mean, the funny part is him sort of making it up. And if you give him, like,
the more that's written,
like,
the less
you have to
get
at a talk that includes
more
these bogus, you know, catchphrases.
Yeah. It's less of an art if I get to make up whatever I want. Like, if my goal is to make the computer make up as much of the talk as possible, and then I have to, like,
maybe
give
you should just
talk.
Be like, I'm really missing my voice today.
That's a good idea.
I'm just going to hit play here.
I mean, this could say RAID security, you know.
Local network can be applied to. Local network applied to.
But I think there's too much of a chance that you get like an actual
talk. I don't even know.
But before you put all the many slides of this.
No, but you know, before you put all the time to change it, you can easily like write down on a piece of paper like just like seven bogus phrases and then just like test it.
Just pass it around the room.
Just see which is
funnier. Let's do it.
And like write all the software or change the rules.
Uh-huh.
And then if you think it's funnier, then it's easy because you already have rules that pull out like, you know, old computer from the 1960s.
Sure. The other possibility is to get a printout of paper. I mean, if we follow your sort of idea to the max, then you should just print out a paper, which I think you actually ought to consider doing. If you don't want, if your point is to literally have the computer make up the talk without thinking about it, you should just read a paper.
The bullshit factor is that point.
Yeah, so I think the bullshit factor is funny, and we should enhance it.
And you would suggest enhancing it by shortening the sentence.
Well, that's what I think.
Could you pull like a figure from the paper, like what Eddie always does, Rick, like when
you
guys always slice copy of the paper and trade next to it? That
Wait, who includes the copy of the...
Like, you know, something like this quick, you know, thing in your computer agent that you see in paper, and basically literally takes it off a lot. Strings it.
Because he wants to sort of make a reference to the paper without actually having to explain it. Or like say in the paper we have 47 amazing conclusions and here's like a smallified version of the 47 line table, but I'm only going to talk about one of them.
Okay. Yeah, I would like to shorten these bullets a little bit.
I just sort of feel like it'd be funnier if it was obviously bullshit, but it wasn't totally nonsensical.
Well, that's hard.
That's what I was trying to do, like by tying stuff together.
I thought that was actually not nonsensical.
No, but like, you know, it's like, I don't like the fact that he says, and now I'm going to talk about simulated annealing, and then he doesn't talk about simulated annealing, even if what he said about simulated annealing would have been crap, right? That would have been fine, but I would like for him, if he's introducing simulated annealing in the second slide, to say, to use that phrase again.
I tried that. It just wasn't on the slide.
Can you change the
but it wasn't on the slide.
Right.
Can I change
it's
the algorithm?
It's hard to change the algorithm.
But AMP
came out.
Yeah, AMP. Well, I have some exceptions for stuff like that. Like
the name of the...
And also, the number of figures have to be fed back into the program to actually make those figures later on. Like, different programs generate different parts of the slide, so I have to put it all together later, which is also not context-free. But, yeah, the system name and, like, my name, you know, show up as parameters.
What if they're a good one?
I think you should like. I think you do a master feature of generating automatic papers.
There's not much reason.
And couldn't you even generate it automatically?
Could you pick a bunch of nouns at the beginning and then use those nouns, have noun placeholders that you plug in throughout the radio, like.
Sure.
So the sentences are stored in the thing.
It's
not
it's not context.
Don't pick the sentences context free, but then do substitutions afterwards, right?
Sure.
So like pick your vocabulary.
Yeah.
Right.
Right. Yeah. Like that's you know, what I'm saying. To
right.
Try
so
but I'm not
like,
sure how
it becomes
many.
Like
so it still doesn't make any
like
sense.
Like
right.
Like
right.
Yeah.
It still doesn't make any
this
sense.
This is much more.
I like the internet.
That's
good dower.
Yeah. Good dower.
Good dower.
But the point is, those are more complicated changes, right? A simple change to get the same effect, which is coherence, is to just constrain yourself less by the text. I still think it's going to come out hilarious because you're going to have to string something coherent together that has like. Blatantly ridiculous bullets, and I think it'll be funnier to do that. And plus, you need to add more figures.
Yes.
And I think those two will take the funniest parts of this and.
Because explaining, you explaining the figure was
amazing. Yeah, that was great.
See, there you're not really.
There's another internet over here. It's, you know, it's wireless. It's like radioactive.
It goes
like
up and down. The middle part is the most interesting part.
have you done a practice where you don't see the full text of this of a slide, or like you only see one bullet at a time?
I've done it on my own. I mean, I was hoping that would come up when we made this, but I had
control
over
it. Okay, so that's an option.
Yeah, it does like one in five slides. It's supposed to, it's like a 20% chance.
That might be better to try because we don't sit here and read the whole thing, read the whole slide beforehand.
Other hand, like, no, the overlay slides are totally annoying.
If they're phrases,
generally, I hate overlays.
No, but if they're each phrases, I think if they're each phrases, you need to see all of them up there so that you can string together the story in the first like 10 seconds
because
looking at it. But if they're all sentences, then.
Well, that's why I wanted to do a mix of it, so you know, try to, like, during the talk, it's going to be different. I'll have to do different things on the fly.
Okay.
It'll, the majority of the time it'll be the full slide, but sometimes I want it to be the full slide.
So, what are you going to do if people ask, like, could you please summarize your work?
Let's go to the summary
slide.
Yeah.
I think he had more technical
questions,
which is fine.
Yeah, I'll just do something, putting down the audience or something. If like if they didn't understand it, then I should have to like summarize it for them. I made this beautiful talk. They should be able to figure it out from the talk.
Flip back to a figure and say, oh, this is
huge
all.
Yeah, exactly.
Super awesome, Stu.
Good job.
Right. Thanks for
good luck.
Reduction.
That's a lot of throughput.
Like
they set it up so that your system sucks.
No.
It always makes good thing to do, bad thing to do.
No, that's entirely right.